James chapter 1, verse 27, where my Bible's marked tonight. James 1, 27. Open up your Bibles there. We'll read that verse as a little jumping off point for our lesson again here in just a few moments. Thank you for being here tonight. As Brother Ron mentioned, our numbers are down. Folks are sick or traveling away from us, and we certainly miss them. But I'm glad you're here. I'm encouraged the fact that you're here. Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. There's no greater meeting going on in the world than the meeting that you're a part of right now. Coming together and worshiping God, standing before his throne, lifting up our prayers, studying his word, encouraging one another. And we're going to continue to glorify God at this moment by preaching and teaching his word. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if a man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. And so therefore tonight, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from his good book for the things that I have to say to you here tonight. And I again appreciate you being here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for God, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. In James 1 and verse 27, James there says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Ah, this verse has launched 100 different sermons for me over the years, I suppose. This evening, I'd like to talk to us about just the concept of pure religion, the pure religion of Jesus Christ. That is, religion undefiled without the changes of men, the modifications by denominational churches, the idea of just simply purely the characteristics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to talk to those to you about those things here this evening for just a few short moments, or six or seven, then the lesson will be yours. As you think about pure religion and the religion of Jesus Christ, the first thing that I want you to see here tonight is that it is a hearing religion. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, chapter 6 and verse 3, I read, hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do my commandments, that it may be a will with thee. And again in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Even from the beginning of time when God was gathering up his people, the children of Israel, he expected them to hear what it is he had to say. And the problem is, when it comes to religion, is getting people to hear. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, you may recall, as Jesus there was speaking to the seven churches of Asia, beginning in chapter 2, do you remember what he says? He says there, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So as we're talking to folks about our religion, I want you to appreciate, first of all, the characteristic of a religion of Jesus Christ is that it is a hearing religion. Well, what's my point? Well, my point is this. It is not something that you get. I got religion last night. People talk about religion like you got a cold. I got religion last night. That's not the religion of Jesus Christ. That's not pure religion. Religion of Jesus Christ is something that we hear. It's not some emotional buildup. It's not a feeling that's better felt than told, but it is something that you consider. God certainly wishes to have the emotions of man stirred within him, but God appeals to your intellect. God wishes for you to think and to consider. You may recall in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now, let us reason together. You may recall as the gospel of Jesus Christ first began to be preached in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter stood before that large throng on that occasion. And in verse 22 of Acts 2, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that must be preached. It must be taught. Another passage, for those of you who are taking notes, is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. How that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Now, when you hear the idea of preaching, I want you to understand that people are going to hear. People must hear the religion of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 8, you may recall, as Jesus preached in regards to the idea of the kingdom of God, he said it's kind of like a sower that goes out and sows seed. And when he explains that, he says those on the wayside are those that hear the word, and the devil takes it away. Those upon stony ground are those that hear the word, and the cares of the life begin to choke it. Those among thorns, those who fell on good ground, are those of good and honest hearts, having heard the word of God. And so this evening, as you think about pure religion and you and I standing here wishing to practice pure religion, understand that it is a religion that must be heard. It is something that that is taught, and that's the reason why it is so important for us to invite our friends and our family to come and be a part of our Bible studies, to be a part of our worship. Why? Because the religion of Jesus Christ, in its pure form, is a hearing religion. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, I remember as a young man, you know, this preaching, or this coming to church wouldn't be so bad if that guy didn't get up there and talk all morning long. And I didn't understand the concept and the idea of why it was that the gospel must be preached, the word of God must be taught in our assemblies to become to glorify God, because the religion of Jesus Christ is a hearing religion. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 through chapter 7, as Matthew records what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sums it all up this way when he says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not is a fool. So as I begin a catalog for you here this evening, what I believe is pure religion according to the word of God, I want you to appreciate that the gospel of Jesus Christ, pure religion, it is a hearing religion. But also I want you to appreciate the fact that it is a believing religion. It will do us no good to hear the words of God, to have our friends and family come here and hear the words of God taught, and then not get around to believing the things that are taught. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The word he there, and we'll talk about this in our Bible study, whether Mark is teaching that class or I'm teaching that particular class, it is italicized in the King James. And what that means, for those of you who may not know, when you see that italicized word, that means that the publisher has added that, or the translator has added that to help in the clarification of what it is that it's saying, to try to make that sound a little bit better. However, in the literal, in the beginning, in the original text, it's not there. And so literally what it says is, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. I am is the word, or that is the phrase that describes God himself. When Moses said, who do I tell in regards to Pharaoh who sent me? In Deuteronomy, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, he says, you go back and you tell him that I am has sent me. We sing a song sometimes, our God, he is alive, the great I am. And Jesus there in that place affirms himself to be deity. And he says, unless you believe that I have that authority, you cultivate that godly fear for me and my sayings, you will die in your sins. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me. And my friends and my family and you and me must believe those things. We must believe the things that Jesus has said. Pure religion demands an unfaltering faith in Jesus Christ. Without the pollutions of men, without the teaching and doctrines of denominations, just simply the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. That is where my faith must be built, and that must be where I make my stand. In 2 John verse 9, he that transgresses and abideth not in the gospel of Christ hath not God. And I must believe that. I must believe the teachings of Jesus Christ, unfettered by the teachings of the opinions and the changes of men. That is where our faith is. That is pure religion. Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Pure religion before God is believing in Jesus and in his words. In verse 7 of John 15, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, pure and undefiled religion before the Father is complete and unfaltering faith in Jesus Christ, and in what he said. And that's the reason why in John 12 and 48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words, believes not my words, hath that which judgeth him. For the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. Pure religion before the Father is a hearing religion, and it is a believing religion. But it is also a doing religion. It'll do me no good, it'll do you no good to hear the words of God and believe them and not get around to obeying or doing the things that God has said for us to do. And a lot of my friends, a lot of my family are with me until this point. Oh, I know I need to hear the gospel, and yes, I know I need to believe the gospel. But listen, Brian, I can't do my way into heaven. But when you say that, you miss my point. My point is not that you and I can come up with some acts of righteousness on our own to get to heaven. But what I am telling you is that pure religion before God is doing the commandments that God has told us. That is pure, unfettered religion. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you purified your souls by being obedient to the truth, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. I get around to obeying the commands of God. Jesus asked in Luke 6 and verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Pure religion before God is doing the commands of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, do. We got to get around to doing. I preach a sermon sometimes just entitled Do, and going through all the different times that God just simply says, do it. Nike wasn't the first one, right? Just do it. Pure religion of Jesus Christ is do it. Just do it. Do what I have to say. Have faith in me. Hear the words that I've commanded. Believe them and be obedient to them. James exhorted that Steve read so well a few moments ago from James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Yes, you must hear. Pure religion, it is a hearing religion. But then the intent is for you to believe those words and then get around to doing them. Most of the religious world, we've lost. Because pure and undefiled before the Father is that, being obedient to the commands of God. Jesus, as he sent out his apostles in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Pure religion is that they hear that they believe that, and then they obey that. That's pure religion. That's pure religion coming from the Word of God. And that's the reason why the Corinthians, it would be written about in Acts 18 and verse 8, and many of the Corinthians hearing, believing, and were baptized. You see, they heard, they believed, and they did. That's pure religion, undefiled before the Father. But I'll tell you something else the religion of Jesus Christ is, and it is a sharing religion. You know, I had all my brethren with me until now. Oh, we know we need to hear it and we need to believe it and we're going to obey it. But I want you to appreciate that the religion of Jesus Christ is a sharing religion. Sometimes I fear we get a little selfish in regards to our religion. We get the attitude that, well, I'm saved and that's really the main thing and everyone else can kind of fend for themselves. Well, let me suggest you something. Pure religion in regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it is a sharing religion. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, as for Saul, that is Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What these people were doing were sharing their religion, even though they were being persecuted, ladies and gentlemen, even though they were literally running for their lives, they understood the power that the gospel of Jesus Christ contained. Now think about that for a second. We here, the body of the Church of Christ, have no persecution. None of us here have any fear for our life, and yet many of us are frozen with fear, unable to share our gospel, unable to share our religion. Oh, sure, our religion is one of the few things that we can give away and have more of when it is all said and done. These people who were literally running from their lives still understood the need, the necessity, that pure religion was religion that they would share. Paul said it this way to Timothy right before he died. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What was it, ladies and gentlemen? Which men would be able to teach others? Faithful men. Faithful men will be able to teach others. Those who wish to practice pure religion before God. Take heed thyself unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, he said in 1 Timothy 4:16. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Pure religion is a sharing religion. In John chapter 1 and verse 40, Andrew, hearing Jesus, went out and got his brother. And do you remember who Andrew's brother was? It was the Apostle Peter. He goeth first and get his own brother Simon Peter and says, come, for we have found the Messiah, which is interpretation, the Christ. I want you to appreciate here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that the religion of Jesus Christ is a sharing religion. The elders here have seen fit to have a vision or have a theme this year as sowing the seed. And I want you to hear in that sharing. Sharing the religion of Jesus Christ with others, through whether it's going to be through our Bible reading program that it is that we're passing out now, or whether it's a CD, or whether it's our website, or an invitation to come and worship ourselves, worship with us, or study the Word of God. I want you to appreciate in doing those things, we are practicing pure religion, a sharing religion before God. And it is that very thing. It is a practicing religion. Unless we practice our religion, it does us no good. In other words, we need to practice what we preach. Just like a doctor who gets his degree, never practices medicine. Well, he might as well never have got it. And so it is in regards to our religion. The thing that we must preach and teach here at this place needs to be practiced in our lives. For instance, when we talk about love in John 13 and verse 34. By this the world will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. We practice that. We practice our religion amongst one another. We practice the love of one another. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is a practicing religion. We do the things that we preach. Therefore, there who teaches another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest to a man that thou shalt not steal, do you steal? Pure religion is not just hearing, it's not just believing, it's not just doing, and it's not just sharing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a practicing religion. It is practicing what we preach. But also, pure religion in regards to Jesus Christ is a daily religion. Many are mistaken about this. I fear many see religion kind of like an overcoat they put on and take off as they please. Come on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday evening and Wednesday night, and then kind of slip it off when they get home. That's not pure religion. Pure religion of Jesus Christ is a daily religion. Do you want me to give you some scripture on that? I want you to appreciate here this evening. I can give you more scripture on your religion being a daily religion than I can on just simply being a first day of the week religion. Because the religion of Jesus Christ was a daily religion. In Acts 2 and verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread and going from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved. People were being baptized every day. That means they were teaching and preaching and practicing the religion on a daily basis. In Acts 5 and 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why did they do this? Because that is what Jesus said to do. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now watch it. Daily. And follow me. Picking up the cross of Jesus Christ is not something simply we do on the first day of the week. It's not something we just simply do on the fourth day of the week. It is something that we do every day of the week. And pure religion, ladies and gentlemen, is a daily religion. And finally, I want you to appreciate that it is a continuing religion. A lot of people start, but they don't finish. And if you start a race and quit the race before you get to the finish line, you don't win. You lose. Back in sixth grade, we had Mark would have been in seventh grade. Back in sixth grade, I'm just thinking whether Mark might remember this or not, but in sixth grade, Debbie would remember. Debbie went to another school. I don't remember being there, but in sixth grade we had Pope, Pierce, Franklin, and Eastern. We all came over to Eastern and ran a track meet. Remember that? Hope you didn't remember what I did. I ran 400. And let me tell you, that was the fastest 100 yards I ever ran. It's supposed to be 400. I didn't quite get all the way around the track. I ran so fast in that 100, and I was in the lead. Matter of fact, I was the car. I had to turn back around, see if anybody was still running this race. I got about halfway through, Donnie, and I was all gassed out. And I can remember just sliding off that track. Maybe no one saw me. I didn't win. I didn't get a ribbon. I didn't get a participation. They didn't give you a participation ribbon back then. You actually had to win and get a trophy. And I want you to appreciate that I started that race, and I was on fire in that race, and I was leading that race. But I didn't finish it. And what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that life is that way. Getting to heaven is that way. You've got to continue. It is not just simply a race that you start, and it's not one that you just simply run fast at the beginning, but it is something that you must continue. In the book of Colossians 1 and verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, you've got to continue in that race. In Acts 14, 22, Paul and Barnabas were preaching in that city, and this was after the Apostle Paul had been stoned and left for dead. And they go back and it says they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Pure religion is a continuing religion. You can't turn it on and then turn it off like an overhead projector. Some like to do that. Some universities have continuing education programs. Maybe we ought to place some emphasis on our continuing our religion. There are things that you don't, there are some things that you do want. It's like you obey the gospel, you're baptized. But the other aspects of pure religion go on and on and on. And we must continue in them if we're going to be pleasing to our God. Well, that's my lesson that I've entitled Pure Religion, and I want you to appreciate pure religion is that it is a hearing religion. It is something that must be heard. It is something that appeals to our intellect, and we must believe it. We must believe the things that Jesus has said, and then we must do them. Once we've done those, we share them. We share them with others as we continue to practice that, practicing that on a daily basis, and continuing unto the end. Whosoever endureth to the end shall be saved. You listen well tonight. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you tonight. Maybe there's one in our audience not going to be the words of God. This will be a wonderful opportunity to obey the gospel. I'm talking to folks. I believe that Him has done that. You need something else that can help you. That the Lord allows us to do. We're here ready, willing, able to help you in any way. To get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We extend that invitation to you. And Marshall will lead us in a song to encourage you to do that. So if you're something to